welcome to a special episode of the Brown and Black Podcast. My name is Jack Rico.
And I'm Mike Sargent.
And every week we take a look at race and pop culture through a brown and black lens.
Brie, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works.
Unfortunately, that was a fictional character in a fictional movie about a reality. It wasn't a science fiction movie.
It was, no, it wasn't.
It was a social fiction movie. So the inflection point of streaming and AI have completely changed the landscape for entertainment.
We're going to be calling this episode Off the Cuff. We're not going to be talking or interviewing anybody. There's a big topic that everyone's talking about. And you know what? We just don't have enough time to sound design the show, super master mix it so your ears can be completely indulged upon. It's not an ear spa. This one is just off the cuff, raw, our thoughts about a big topic, which is this one, a historic existential threat for any creator, especially of color, with the WGA strike and the SAG-AFTRA strike, creating a form of a doomsday scenario, Mike, where Hollywood could collapse if this thing goes on too long. Here's Fran Drescher, the leader of the SAG-AFTRA, the president of the SAG-AFTRA union, in an impassioned speech. I mean, you listen to this. She's not kidding around.
I cannot believe it, quite frankly, how they plead poverty, that they're losing money left and right when giving hundreds of millions of dollars to their CEOs. The entire business model has been changed by streaming, digital, AI. This is a moment of history that is a moment of truth. If we don't stand tall right now, we are all going to be in trouble. We are all going to be in jeopardy of being replaced by machines. So the jig is up, AMPTP. We stand tall. You have to wake up and smell the coffee. We are labor and we stand tall and we demand respect. And to be honored for our contribution, you share the wealth because you cannot exist without us.
The surreality of this for me is that she's literally saying we are not going to be replaced by machines because literally that is what is happening. Hopefully everybody's heard some clip or snippet of this Fran Drescher speech because it is a speech for the ages. It's like those Winston Churchill, we will go and fight in the seas and the oceans. You know, it's like, it's one of those kind of speeches.
It's like a war rally speech.
Absolutely.
Dude. It's totally.
It's a war.
It's a war rally.
It's a war rally. But here's the thing. And this is to me now. Okay. It's a game of chess. It's a game of thrones. Okay. Who's going to be king? Who's going to win? Now, the AMPUS has tipped their hand. Okay, when they made this offer for actors, for background actors, literally to just have a one-day career, this is it. We're going to digitize your body, and then we can use you in whatever movie, whenever we want, for the rest of eternity, and you get nothing. And that's what they proposed, and they called it groundbreaking. The stunning part about that is that says to you already, this is what we consider you to be.
It's just hearing you say it like that, Mike. It's just so dehumanizing.
Thank you.
And I think that's what we're talking about right now is when did we get to a part where we have allowed these psychopaths to lead our arts and culture industries? Because clearly this isn't about art. I get that, hey, it's a business, but damn it, art was the core, center, heart, and soul of that commercial industry. But now it's like, fuck the art. This is all about money. This is all about profits. It's what that Alden Capital ventures company that's buying every single little local newspaper in the United States. I think they're about to buy the San Diego Tribune, maybe even the LA Times, which needs to be sold to somebody who actually cares. But they're all buying it to squeeze the last couple of pennies of it out, and then, like a desert, leave it arid and dry and dead.
No, not just arid and dry and dead, but arid and only one place to get water. And you gotta take whatever we give you. If you just really look at the history of film for a second, okay? We came out of, forget just the invention of film and everything that happened, and I won't even get into the history of how they destroyed the black film industry in the early 20s. But when the studios became a system, when it became an industry, these actors, they were just players. They had contracts. They didn't get paid more for money. The studios, if they had a hit, they had a great, it's great. We got this actor under contract. We can put him in or put her in whatever we want. And that is how the industry was built. And it wasn't until later on when actors like Charlie Chaplin and other actors decided to unite and create United Artists and have their own studio and create it again. Like, this is the kind of thing Jack Rico would have said at the time. We need to get together and unite as an artist. But that's the only reason things changed by the time the 60s came along and independent filmmaking and foreign films were being made and the industry was growing and America couldn't just dominate and do their cookie cutter way of making films. Art became part of it, a bigger part, a much bigger part. And we grew up during this age in films from the 60s and the 70s and 80s and, you know, during this time. But to me, as a person of color, as a black person, as a person who comes from people who were enslaved by the same mentality that wants to take everything from you and give you nothing, I will take your image, your likeness, take it from you, pay you a day's rate, and goodbye.
This is the music industry in the 1920s.
This is every industry. This is my point. My point is this is America. This is how America was built. America's always built on somehow exploiting somebody, some worker, somebody who does all the work. Exploit them.
One of the funniest things I think I read recently was, hey, you know, some people think that there's a narrative that the studios that they don't care. They do care. And I'm going, they do? Here's Bob Iger being interviewed by CNBC about the writer's strike.
There's a level of expectation that they have that is just not realistic. And they are adding to a set of challenges that this business is already facing that is, quite frankly, very disruptive.
So they're not being realistic?
No, they're not.
Why not?
I can't answer that.
What the fuck? It's like the real evil empire.
Listen to me. It's so dripping with irony that he says it's unrealistic when the battle is about AI and digital and how real can we make the digital so we don't even need your ass.
These CEOs, they don't think like regular people. There is no empathy. I'm not sure if they see people as people. I think they see them as like coins or currency or...
or human resources. Human
exactly.
beings. It's human resources.
Resource. Exactly, Mike. On Deadline, there's an article headlined, Hollywood Studios WGA Strike Endgame is to let writers go broke before resuming talks in the fall. And there's this specific quote that just blew my mind. The end game is to allow things to drag on and on until union members start losing their apartments and losing their houses. Mike, that was like a direct quote on Deadline.com from a source that the reporter spoke to.
What does Zaslav say?
Well, look, we're a pure storytelling company, and we've been fighting to get the greatest creatives to come work at Warner Brothers. We have all the assets. We got this incredible library of IP. We have a diversified portfolio. In order to create great storytelling, we need great writers.
Right.
And we need the whole industry to work together. And everybody deserves to be paid fairly. So our number one focus is, let's try and get this resolved. Let's do it in a way that the writers feel that they're valued, which they are, and they're compensated fairly. And then off we go. Let's tell great stories together. We all came into this business because we love storytelling. We want to entertain. Right. And when we're at our best, we get a chance to have an impact on the culture. That's why, you know, almost all of us got into this business, you know, with a lot of sacrifice in order to be part of that journey. And so that's what's going to bring us together.
You combine all of these together, and these guys are the real evil empire. We're living in a world where psychopaths, where tyrants who don't want the best for people, but want to make as much money as they possibly can. Zaslav supposedly paid himself over $250 million. Iger makes about $30 million a year. So they're so disconnected from normal life that the way they belittle a worker is the equivalent of an insect. Like when you walk around, you might step on an ant without even knowing you did, because you don't care, because no one cares about these insects. That's the way they're looking at us. And what I'm saying is, where is religion? Where is the ethics committee? Where is the human rights organizations? This is a global crisis. The king of the creative industries for over 100 years, Mike, is about to break because of a few fucking evil leaders. They're psychopaths.
First of all, let me correct you. They're not psychopaths. What they are, and very specifically, because you hit it on the head, that disconnection, that not caring, that describes a certain kind of person. And if you've seen this, tons of articles have been written about this, studies on this, that over 80% of the CEOs of companies are sociopaths. Okay, sociopathic people can become very successful because they do not have to care about the consequences. You read about this guy who owns this company who fired 90% of his staff because he felt AI was more efficient. He could care less, and he did it via Twitter. He announced it on Twitter. I mean, this level of dispassion,
no
disconnected
heart.
Again, that's a sociopath. That is a straight up sociopath. And the other thing I want to say, you said that they're like ants. I'd say that they're a little better than ants. I think to them, these movie stars are commodities. They can recast just like you recast Batman, James Bond, whoever it is, whatever. You put somebody else in there, it doesn't matter. Okay? You can recast Superman. How many Supermans they had on TV and movies? It's been 20, okay? Whatever. It's Superman. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that the fans
look what they're doing with DC. They're interchanging actors before our very eyes and allowing us.
Exactly. Because that's because it doesn't matter. You are, again, expendable, replaceable commodities. That's what actors have become. That's what writers have become. And the life is like science fiction part of this. This was all predicted in a movie. Michael Crichton, who wrote a lot of other great things, that he's a scientist who became a writer. He did a film called Looker in the early 80s. And Looker, if you look up Looker, the whole concept of Looker is that
we were conducting an experiment.
Hi, I'm Cindy. I'm the perfect female type, 18 to 25.
Here you see a typical computer model being made.
Hi, I'm Cindy. I'm the perfect female type, 18 to 25.
What have you got me mixed up in?
This is what's starting to happen. They're digitizing these actors and then replacing them with their digital copies. This is in like 1980. 1981, this movie came out. I say all that to say, not just that life is like science fiction, but this is not a surprise. It's not just that these two groups are going on strike. Films and TV stops means all the people who work on the movies are not working too.
Right. There's a impact that goes all the way down to the service people, which are mostly Latinos and Blacks.
Exactly.
So that's where the person of color is affected especially in parts like California, San Antonio, Atlanta, where a lot of the people that help these productions are a lot of the Latino and Black service people. Where do you think, Mike, the worst case scenario would be if this prolongs itself into 2024 and beyond?
Well, you know, there's, like you said, there's layers. This is like an onion. On the first level, production stops, okay? And not only does production stop, that means, okay, we're affected. You and I are affected as journalists because we have guests that we're not going to be able to get for our shows.
Oh, yeah, it's already happening. We just got an email from Warner Brothers for the Blue Beetle, and Xolo Maridueña, who is the star of Blue Beetle, he is the Blue Beetle, he already put out a video on, I think it was on Instagram and social media, saying that he won't be able to promote the movie. So they offered us Angel Manuel Soto, the director. This guy's a great talent. And of course, as the director's guild did a deal. So it would be very interesting to kind of get his take as someone that isn't dealing with any of this drama. But as a director, you need writers. Maybe you yourself are a writer. And you need actors.
Well, dude, here's the thing about directors, okay? Very often, directors are producers too. Okay, so you got to think about that. That's like a, you know, that's a double-edged sword. You know, you're walking the razor's edge. But that's the first stage, okay.
No more press junkets, no more red carpet premieres, no more award shows because you need celebrities for award shows.
That's phase one.
All that part of celebrity culture, dead, gone, gone.
Here's the next thing. This, the last time this happened was 63 years ago, okay, with that writers and actors striking at the same time. Okay, now we have social media. How many days will it be before certain parts of the community say, don't go see these movies? Don't put money in their pockets.
Boycott Hollywood. Boycott.
Exactly. How long? Boycott. Before? All right. You know somebody's going to call for it. Okay. Right. That's phase two. Phase two is, where does your loyalty lie? Phase three is taking sides. People are going to have to start taking sides. Nobody's doing press. That's great because nobody wants to ask you how you feel. But there's some people, there's some people who, you know, are going to, they're just going to come out. They're going to talk. They're going to say what they have to say. Some of them probably shouldn't say nothing, but they will.
This is one of the worst case scenarios that I also think will happen, which is the death of the movie theaters. These places will become dust bowl warehouses.
Dust Bowl Warehouse.
Okay. This happens, Mike. We're losing, dude, the movie going culture.
Well, you see, but here's
which
the
is
thing.
Part of the American way. And the fact that these guys don't give a fuck is blowing my mind. Why do you have no fear? Your kids don't give a two hoots? Your wife? Your parents? Who are boomers aren't saying anything to you, you sociopath? Who? What kind of morale? Who is not? Somebody please stop these people.
Jack, all the doom and gloom that we've been talking about here, about what's coming and how dark it may potentially be. What do you see happening in a best case scenario?
Only way to really kind of look at the future of Hollywood, because at some point, this just isn't going to work for either party. And we're going to have to look at a new business model that helps everybody. You know what's interesting? Matt Damon and Ben Affleck created a, it's called the Actors Equity Studio. They did Air that went on Prime Video, and they split all the money with fair equity with every single creator in the film. This is what they're asking from the streaming services. So I think that decentralizing Hollywood, what if the creative force and energy of the writer's creativity and the actor's performances to bring those creations to life? What if they combined and created a brand new Hollywood, a Hollywood 2.0, and they launch an online streaming platform? Think of Max, Disney Plus, Netflix. It's a rival. But since they're the movie stars and the writers are just writing for the movie stars, then everybody would be like, well, we love celebrities and we love great highbrow and lowbrow. Imagine the guys from South Park and the guys from Stranger Things getting together to do a project. I would watch that. All the movies would be funded by crowdsource. Distribution would be on streaming platforms where indie movies could be just sold to the viewer directly. Maybe you get a text and go, hey, Christopher Nolan just did a brand new movie. We're letting everybody know through this biggest platform, TikTok or whatever it may be. And you buy it within Instagram. Or maybe you're using your Apple Vision Pro and you get an alarm. And then you start watching the movie right there and then in augmented reality. We don't need a movie theater anymore, Mike.
Well, interestingly enough, I think not only are they plausible, but they really kind of follow what has happened before. The whole notion of an independent film release was something that came about. Melvin Van Peebles was one of the first to do it. He pioneered it when he did Sweetback's Badass Song. No studio wanted to touch it. And so he decided to just four-wall it, you know, and travel the country with it. And then it got great reviews. He made a lot of money. And then they realized they missed out on something. So, and I don't know if you know, Steven Soderbergh has just got something coming out that you can only see on this new platform called extension765.com. Mm. And they wouldn't give anything to critics. There's no promotion. It's just you have to watch it when everybody watches at the same time. And I think, like you're saying.
Yes. Well, this is what they're doing with the Sundance Film Festival, with South by Southwest, with many of the... During the pandemic, they put a lot of these ideas that we're talking about as the future. They already implemented them as experiments.
Well, I think the future remains to be seen.
The motherfucker who said we're going to keep this thing going until people start losing their houses and their apartments. Listen to me, motherfucker. There's a lot of ways to lose your house. Some of it is financial, some of it is karma, and some of it is just figuring out who the fuck said that, and we know who said that, and where he lives. There's a lot of ways to lose your house. You wish that on people. You wish that families starve while you're making $27 million a year for creating nothing. Be careful, motherfucker. Be really careful. Because that's the kind of disturbed stuff. Peace out.